Good Wednesday afternoon, Central Indiana. It's 4:30 on Wednesday, and you're tuned to 91.9 FM, WITT, the home of unpredictable music and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show. And since it's 4:30 on Wednesday, you're tuned to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show with yours truly, Danny O'Malley, Indy's Trusted Servant. What is Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, I do customer service training and or keynote speaking about customer service, and it's really all about the culture of the organization. I was privileged to watch my father, the late Joe O'Malley, build a great culture for employees and for customer service back in the old days at O'Malley Food Markets, and I love to talk about that and other great cultures and service organizations like Nordstrom and Chick-fil-A and Southwest Airlines, to name a few. If you're interested in learning more about that, why, give me a call at 317-413-9062. What's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show? Well, I like to describe it as lively, local, small biz, and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And today's guest is a most unusual guest. He's an author, and what I consider he must be awfully good in his day job, because when you hear what kind of traveling is done, you're gonna go, wow, this is amazing. He's not that old either. His name is Matt Javitt, and I met him at the Catholic Business Exchange several months ago. And he's here to talk about a book he's written about, well, visiting 35 countries over 800 days and visiting barbershops and police departments. But before we do that, Matt, tell us about yourself before this. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? What'd you study?
Okay.
And how did you make the money to be able to take an 800-day journey with your wife?
Excellent. Yeah, that's a good start. So I guess to brief this story a little bit, I grew up in a military family, so I bounced around a bunch in the U.S., and then ended up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at high school, played college basketball.
Where?
I finished up at UNC, North Carolina, Greensboro.
Spartans.
The Spartans, absolutely.
I know the nicknames of all 351 D1 basketball schools.
That is amazing.
That's what people say.
That's really amazing.
Well, congrats on being a D1 basketball player. That's cool.
Yeah, it was. And it was a great experience. And between the opportunities I had as a kid, living in 10 different states, and then basketball playing in different places around the country, I had a chance to really see America. But then fast forward into my professional career, I was here in Indianapolis. My wife and I, we've been married at that point about 11 years. I had a really good nine-year run with a technology company in Indianapolis.
Mind telling us which one?
It's called Sogetti. It's an international company, part of the Capgemini group.
Okay.
They're based out of Paris, France, about a 200,000 person organization. The first couple of years were tough. I made sales, so I really had to learn the craft and get better at it, and I put in the hours and the time to do that. But through that process, I hit a stride where I was being successful. And the cool part about being with an organization that's based out of Paris, France, and it's big, when they had their sales incentive awards at the end of the year,
you got to travel.
Yeah. And we would bring we'd have the chance to bring our spouses as well, so they take 40 of the top sales professionals from around the world, and we go to awesome locations. I was fortunate enough to win 5 straight awards. We went to Chiang Mai, Thailand, Istanbul, Turkey, Goa, India, Cape Town, South Africa.
Holy moly.
And so so those trips with my wife began our wanderlust and our love for travel, because prior to that, prior to my mid-30s, I had never traveled internationally. It was always the domestic travel, but then when we had that in international travel, it blew my mind. I can remember being in the car in Istanbul, Turkey, a city of 14 million on the border of Europe and Asia, and it was just crazy. All the senses, the noise of it all, just how crazy it was. And I felt like I was Jason Bourne in the movie, or in a Mission Impossible movie. It was just so different to me that I needed more of it. So all those, that just continued to build and build, to the point where my wife and I, we would dream at night, and we'd say, what if we could take time off? What if we could do this in a longer way?
Did your wife work too?
She is. She's a clinical pharmacist at IU Health.
Okay.
So she did her undergrad at IU, got her doctorate at Butler.
She from here?
She's a Chicago girl.
Okay.
So, and we've been married now for 14 years, and But during that process of dreaming and hoping, we started to make it a real realistic goal and put it down our goals and reflect on it. And after we paid off a lot of those student debts and the things that we had, we began to save for a trip like this. And it got to the point where we decided, okay, we're either going to do this or we need to stop talking about it and stop dreaming about it. And so we made it happen. And in February of 2017, we set out with one backpack apiece and traveled for 27 straight months to 35 countries, nonstop around the world.
Yeah. Now, what about your job? Was it still there?
No, that was the hard part. We had to leave our jobs. Yeah, we had to. Yeah. We were both at the time, both at our career peaks at what we were doing. But it was a decision. We decided that we could learn so much from the road.
Now you're back in the IT business.
Yeah,
now
we're back in the IT. I started my own firm. Nikki transitioned right back into IU Health, and since she's even taken on a new department, so it's been the trip was exactly what we'd hoped, and even the transition back has been.
Well, welcome
exactly
back to
we
Indianapolis.
Hoped.
When did you get back?
This May.
Just this past May.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk about your travels and your books, and your background is absolutely fascinating. And my, I worked all my life in the retail grocery business, and I never could have taken 800 days off.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, we had kids and so on and so forth. But at any rate, my hat's off to you. You've written a couple of books about your travels. Let's take what I consider to be perhaps the less serious book first, World Barbershop Adventures. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's not actually a book, but it's a video series on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So Amazon, like Netflix, they have a video that you can put on there.
Right.
We not only have that, we have it on YouTube, but it's me and barbershops around the world. And how that came about was I was in Bucharest, Romania, getting a haircut like I always did, and the barber took a big interest into not only our travels, but me, my experience in barber chairs around the world. And he kept asking me really smart questions, and we had a great dialogue. And I left that visit, and at this point we'd already been about 16 months into our travels, and I left that visit, and I went back to Nikki and I said, I think we should be recording my time in barber chairs. I think people would have an interest in this. So that's what we started doing. So now we have over 25 cities around the world.
With interviews with barbers.
Well, no, it's more of like me in the barber shop. So me showing the different barber experiences, because you would think that all barbers are the same, but they're absolutely different around the world.
Really?
How an Egyptian does a haircut rather than an Indian, rather than a Cambodian and a Japanese. They're so different in the craft. A lot of the basics are the same. The idea is the same. Get the guy out looking his best, but how they go about it is extremely different. So that's what I did. I capture my time in barbershops, but also do kind of an Anthony Bourdainish cultural look as well, and build that into about a 15 to 22 minute episode.
Well, did you just talk to the barbers, or did you talk to the other customers too?
Well, sometimes I couldn't even talk to the barber because they didn't speak English.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of it is some of it is me in the barber chair talking to the barber, just chopping it up and understanding what's going on in their lives and the culture around them. But some of it is the dynamics of the city and me going to amazing events around the world, sumo wrestling in Japan, Muay Thai fighting in Thailand, rugby in Australia, things like that. Cool guy stuff. I'm very much a guy's guy, and I highlight all that in the video series.
That's very cool. Now, the more serious book, and we'll just barely get into this, and we're going to have to do an underwriter break in just a minute, but the more serious book, and I guess the one that's gotten you more recognition, is your book Police, Brotherhood in Uniform Around the World. And you were highlighted on Fox and Friends. I want to come back to that because we got to do an underwriter break, and that's what I really want to talk about, although the barber thing is fascinating. I'm sure we could talk the whole time just about the barbers. So you're listening to the Indy's Trusted Servant Show on 91.9 FM, WITT.org, or 91.9 FM, or online at 919WITT.org. Every Wednesday at 4:30 with yours truly, Danny O'Malley, Indy's Trusted Servant. We want to thank our underwriters for the show and our hosts for the studio and tell you a little bit about next week's show. The underwriters are Fabric Care Dry Cleaners at 5760 West Morris Street at West Washington Street out by the old airport. They're specialists in all sorts of dry cleaning. They have a laundromat on site that's open 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And they do pickup and home delivery twice a week in the metro area. Their phone number is 317-241-1288. That's 241-1288. You can find out more about my good buddy James Belt, and the good folks at Fabric Care on Facebook. The second underwriter is Open in Indiana. Open in Indiana is also owned by a good buddy of mine who's been on the show a couple of times, and that is Ryan Henry. It is a networking organization that has about 8 or 9 networking events around the metro area a month. They also just created their own magazine, which is available in a lot of retail outlets and so forth, but is also available for pickup at one of the meetings. And we want to thank Ryan and Open in Indiana for being our second underwriter. We also want to thank the home of the studio for 91.9 FM, and that is My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very, very busy staffs, they distribute frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food owners only, not stores, in 48 states. So it must work. Want to mention next week's guest will be Todd Bertrand, who's with the city of Westfield. We're going to talk about what's going on in Westfield with Grand Park and everything surrounding it. Westfield is booming, so listen up next week. Now back to Matt Javitt, and we're going to talk about his book about police. Not only did you do barber shops around the world, but you talked to police around the world, right?
Absolutely.
So how did that come about?
You know, as we started our trip, our first city was Santiago, Chile. And like any tourist, I took a lot of photos during this trip. And early on, I passed a policewoman on her horse. And it was just something that grabbed me. So I asked her if I could take her photo. She said I could. So I took the photo. A couple of days later, in Santiago, we were in the park. And there was a gentleman, a police officer, with his dog. And I took that photo. I asked him.
A police dog?
Yeah, with a police dog. I asked the gentleman if I could take a photo of them, and he said yes. And about a week later, I was in Valparaiso, Chile, which is on the coastline of Chile. And I was in the back alley getting coffee, searching for a coffee shop. And I passed a police officer. And again, I asked him. He obliged. And after I took the photo, the colors and everything as it surrounded him and the way it just captured the moment and just captured the culture of that town, I told Nikki when I showed her my phone later, I said, I'm going to just keep doing this. If we pass police officers, I'll ask them. And that's what I did. I just kept doing it along the way. And over the period of the 27 months, I ended up getting over 80 photos. I got some no's. I've got some officers that asked me not to share the photo in those situations. But over and over, I would just ask and have great conversations with these men and women around the world and took the photos and then decided to put it into a self-published photography book, as your describes, 180 pages.
And I got it sitting right in front of me here.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. The photography's fabulous.
Thank you so much. And it's all done on a phone, and the response we got back was really strong, and that's what I ended up being on Fox and Friends. And
well, yeah, and so places. When were you on Fox and Friends?
That was in September, right after the release.
And who are these two reporters?
They're the early morning anchor people, Julian and Rob, I believe.
Okay. Well, they're
and I think,
too early
I think
morning
Rob,
for me.
I think Rob is actually from Carmel.
Oh, is that right?
That was the feedback that I got from somebody.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you get on a network on a show like that, obviously you've done something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's always good or always bad, but you've done something. What is who gets the? Can you buy the book in a Barnes and Noble?
No, not Barnes & Noble, because
online?
How they do it is a little tough. But yes, policearoundtheworld.com.
Policearoundtheworld.com.
And it's also on Amazon.
What was your sense generically in talking to all these policemen and women? You know, there's a lot of controversies about police.
Absolutely.
And the way they handle certain situations. What was your general impression overall?
It was pride in their community. They all have the sacrifice in their country to give it up to protect the people around them. It always got the sense that when I asked them if I could take their photo, there was a lot of making sure that they looked the part, fixing their hat, fixing their uniform.
Yeah, I noticed everybody's looking pretty sharp
it
in
is.
These pictures.
And that was always the case. If I would ask them, I would show them what the other photos of police officers. Sometimes I'd have to use Google Translate for them to even understand what I was doing, because they might not speak my language. And then once they understood, they would they would take a minute to kind of adjust and then look the part.
Were there any discussions about the difficulties of being a police officer, the danger, and maybe the lack of respect from some of the public? Did you get into it that deeply?
I didn't. A lot of it was casual because all of the photos are during their.
They're on duty.
Their duties, yeah.
Right.
Their duties,
so they couldn't stop very long.
Yeah, it's their shift. They're during their shift. So the conversation would usually be short. I would thank them and let them know that I had friends and family back home that were officers, and I appreciated what they do for a living. And that's what's funny is that as I spoke to officers later, and you see an officer look through the book, it's interesting because they're looking at their uniform, the things that they're carrying, because like the men and women in Japan are holding sticks. A lot of the men in India also wear sticks, where the guys in Cambodia have huge guns. So the police officers like to look at what are these other guys carrying, how do their uniforms look, and it's interesting to see an officer look through the book.
I noticed that it looks like the only American city you interviewed police in was Milwaukee, which you're familiar with.
Yes.
Any particular reason for that?
I just wanted to, and I actually did it. We arrived home in May, and we actually went. I went to Milwaukee in May, so it's still kind of traveling for me, even because I hadn't been home in Milwaukee for probably 20 years or so. But I got to see a high school buddy of mine who's a police officer,
okay.
And so I wanted to highlight him in the book in a way to just to bring America into it as well, but also to understand his sacrifice. And the things that he's given up for his family and community.
Just curious, because of all the controversy surrounding police, legitimate or not, have you given any thought to maybe doing the same trip but around the country and talking to American policemen in different cities and maybe big cities and small cities and anything like that?
That's an awesome idea. And there's that would be great to be able to capture that and really have a chance to spend time with these officers as well. But
and I'm sure they'd love to see this book.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand you sell a lot of these books to police departments.
Yes, and
right?
it's been well received by the community for sure.
I will bet. This is just fascinating. Do you have any other travel plans coming up?
I do, and it's. So I guess when it comes to travel in general, we do have a blog. It's called PassportJoy.com.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah, and I have it, and I have a podcast as well where we talk about travel. So and traveling is deep into my soul, like you described. We've transitioned back. We're back to work to make the money that we spent all of our money. So now we got to make money again. So that's what we're doing. We're back in a make mode. But I'm still going to keep traveling. So I do have a trip coming up in the Philippines in February. We're looking forward to that.
Why the Philippines as opposed to any place else?
It's funny. My brother, one of the best things that happened during our journey was the idea that my brother visited us and with his wife in Vietnam for 9 days.
Okay.
And my brother had never been really outside of America either. Prior to that trip, and for us to be able to have that time together, it opened his mind to the new ways of travel. So he just loved it so much that when we came back this summer, he said, "Matt, we have to go set out and do something like that again." He wanted to go back to Vietnam. I said, "We can't go back to Vietnam. I spent a lot of time there. I love Vietnam. I'd love to go back, but I wanted to go to a new place on my list.
Go someplace new."
And
yeah.
So the highest one on my list in Southeast Asia is the Philippines. So that's why we're going back.
Okay,
there.
We're gonna come back to Matt Javitt. And the whole thing about travel, we've already covered the barbers and the police, and we're going to cover travel in general for this last segment. We're going to do a quick underwriter break and tell you about next week's show. The underwriters are Fabric Care Dry Cleaners at 5760 West Morris Street out at West Washington Street out by the old airport. They're specialists in all sorts of dry cleaning. They have a laundromat on site that's open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. They do pickup and home delivery twice a week in the metro area. Their phone number is 317-241-1288. That's 241-1288. And you can learn more about Fabric Care on Facebook. Second underwriter is Open in Indiana. Open in Indiana is a networking organization, a free networking organization, that has 8 or 9 events monthly around Central Indiana. You can Google or go on Facebook and type in Open in Indiana and find out all about them. When you show up, you'll get a free copy of the new Open in Indiana magazine. And we want to thank both Fabric Care Dry Cleaners and Ryan Henry of Open in Indiana for being our underwriters for the show. We also want to thank My Pet Carnivore, a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food owners only in 48 states. So it must work. My guest next week will be Todd Bertrand with the City of Westfield. And we'll talk about all the exciting stuff, starting with Grand Park and emanating out from that, that's been going on in Westfield and continues to go on. Now, back to our guest of today, Matt Javitt. And we were just getting into your blog, PassportJoy.com. Tell us what that's about.
Yes, yeah, so we before we set out on the journey, Nikki and I started the blog to just kind of capture our experiences and be able to share it back with the people back home, and then also other folks that might want to take what we did, maybe a career gap, 6 to 9 months off. I think that what we did is going to become more common in the future, so we wanted to capture that. How do we do it on the cheap? How do we volunteer in places? We spent a month in Greece. On a Greek island, because we volunteered our services to help a woman with her bed and breakfast. We helped her in exchange for housing. We just helped her Greek guests.
So you kind of worked your way around somewhat.
Some of it we did.
So
that's what we wanted to share, those ideas, and as we went through them, put those on the blog and be able to help people, future travelers, if you will.
So this was not staying in the Marriott Marquis or anything like that. You were staying in bed and breakfasts and working your way around somewhat.
Yeah, we did a lot of hostels. We didn't do a lot of hostels. We did a lot of cheaper housing, mm-hmm. a lot of shared Airbnbs.
I was going to ask if you used, what was your experience with the B&Bs?
Airbnbs, we love them.
We
did a lot of shared where the host would be there and we'd have a spare bedroom. And that was great because they would have somebody in the home that could give you directions on the neighborhood or the community that you're in, which was fantastic. So we did a lot of that. We even did a website called Trusted House Sitters, where we watched two cats in Zurich, Switzerland for 3 weeks in exchange for a home, a nice two-bed, two-bath home.
That sounds like a deal.
It's a great deal.
Switzerland is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God.
And we were 5 minutes walk from Lake Zurich, if you're familiar with that. So it's amazing to be able to stay there for free. Zurich is an extremely expensive city.
I did not get to Zurich when I was in Switzerland. I got just about every place else. It's the most beautiful place I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous.
A lot of interesting things. I was struck by the contrast in the healthy lifestyle. Everybody's walking the mountains and stuff, but they're smoking. This was like 25 years ago.
It still holds true. Yeah.
Really, really weird. Yeah. But the culture... The cultural stuff has to be, you know, it's so different everywhere.
Absolutely.
If you had to name your three or four favorite places and or experiences on this travel, what would you say? I know it'd be tough.
It would be tough. We experienced three Indian weddings. An Indian wedding is typically 5 to 6 days. And in these cases, we had a chance to stay with families for 9 days at a time.
Wow.
So those are irreplaceable memories. The beauty of New Zealand is amazing.
My dad was in the Navy in World War II in New Zealand. Said it was the most beautiful place he ever saw.
It is.
You don't hear that much about how beautiful it is.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And we were lucky enough to end our trip there, so those memories will stay long and hard. But Vietnam. We fell in love with Vietnam. We ended up spending about 3 months total in different times. We spent time in a little island called Phu Quoc. That's just off the southern coastline between Vietnam and Cambodia. We spent a lot of time in Da Nang, Vietnam, Hanoi.
Now, obviously, Vietnam, I came through the Vietnam era. I was in college in the late 60s. And Vietnam, you know, I know a lot of Vietnam vets. Some of them survived pretty well. Some of them are still just a little bit messed up. Some of them didn't make it. But what's Vietnam like today? Is it a modern country?
It does have some modern niceties. The infrastructure is great. It's very much a scooter culture. So any typical road, you're going to have a ton of scooters. Cars are not the dominant transportation. Great cafes, excellent internet. Wi-Fi when you want to get it. The hospitality is continuing to, they strive to take in a lot of guests.
So it's not a backwards country.
Not at all. It's not like, it's not something you would think would be like a third world country where you're.
That's what I was getting at.
Absolutely. But the dollar goes a long way. They have gorgeous beaches and coastline if you find the right cities. Nikki and I, we had the chance to go to a bigger city like Da Nang, which has 1.5 million people. Their beaches there are gorgeous. But then we went to smaller towns like Quy Nhon, a little bit south of that. Took a train down, went to Quy Nhon. You didn't see many guys looking like me walking around. So when you get those experiences, those are even more authentic. And then the people are overly nice, and you get a great chance to experience what the culture is like.
Did you experience any place where people didn't like Americans?
You know what's funny is Americans bring money, right?
Well, that's true.
So as a tourist, they tend to the opportunity to win your money at some point is
overcomes the
yes,
whatever.
We never really felt like it was uneasy at any time.
Did you travel anywhere in the Middle East?
We spent a day in Qatar, and then we got near. We were in a city called Jammu, India, which was not far from the Pakistani border.
Okay.
And it was an uneasy area because that's near Kashmir, and that area has been under conflict for a very long time. And we felt that. Jammu is a military city. We were there for a week, and it was intense. It was intense.
Did you ever feel threatened at all?
Nikki didn't walk around as much as I did during that trip. But I walked around everywhere we went. I'm lucky. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'6", about 230, 240. So I stand out wherever we go. But that's good and bad because they always knew I was around.
And they always knew you weren't from there, kind of.
I look like a big white American guy.
Yeah, you do.
And I do. Yeah, and some people think I look military as well.
Yeah.
So they might think that I was undercover. And I've gotten that sometimes that they might think that I'm in military or something. But I tell you, everywhere we went, people were amazing, amazingly nice. We didn't have, for spending 27 months in a row, we had zero or little conflict.
Back to one, we just got a couple of minutes left. Back to the passportjoy.com blog. Shares information that we learned along the way about keeping travel costs down. And you mentioned a couple of them, Airbnb and so on and so forth. What are some other tips about that?
Well, I touched on briefly the idea of watching animals or pets in exchange for housing. That's great. That website's called Trusted House Sitters, and that's great because
that's a good tip.
Yeah, not only for those that are traveling. So prior to Nikki and I making this big trip, we had owned two small dogs for a very long time. So every time we want to go on a vacation,
you gotta
board them or pay somebody. We'd pay somebody to come to our home.
Yeah.
So in exchange for that, you can have somebody come into your home and watch your dogs for you. Just in exchange, so you don't have to pay them that money. So it's just things like that, websites like that.
Trusted what?
Trusted House Sitters.
Trusted House Sitters. It wouldn't have to be a dog, a pet either. It could just be a house sitter.
Just a house sitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then, that's a good tip.
Yeah. And if you're looking to use that to go travel, there's a ton of opportunities around the world to use that. And then Workaway was the other one I talked about, where we volunteered our services in exchange for housing as well. And Workaway is all kinds of services. We decided to do bed and breakfasts because it's an easy transition, but you can there's all kinds of computer skills, teaching kids English. There's all kinds of things,
jobs you can pick up along
absolutely.
The way.
You can pick grapes in France, and they'll give you housing. And it's also a great way where you can meet other travelers. Because the biggest part about our trip was not the sightseeing. We went to amazing places, Taj Mahal, Machu Picchu.
Did you get the Great Wall?
We did not go to the Great Wall.
Okay.
But we went to a lot of these bucket list locations. But at the end of it, the things we'll always remember are the relationships we made.
The people you met.
The people.
Yeah.
And so that is not only the people in those towns and cities that we went to, but also other travelers along the way that we'll always be friends with. So that's some of those websites help you get involved and meet other great people.
Matt Javitt, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for coming, and it's a fascinating story. And don't forget, next month, my guest will be Todd Bertrand with the city of Westfield. What's going on in Westfield besides Grand Park? If you haven't been to Grand Park, you don't have grandkids, I guess. Don't forget tonight at 6 p.m., Indiana Nocturne with Russ Dodge and Devin Dean, unpredictable music from the 60s through 2000. And right after this show, our producer, Pace Whitecamp, will have the DJ Lucky Menace Show, a collection of wonderful music to end your day, right after this show. We'll see you next week on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.